I think maybe as you've been able to tell, just on the maybe my own kind of being this morning, but it's been a long week. and I'm going to preface my sermon this morning by saying this. And again, this I think all this will make sense, but I'll give you the disclaimer first, so don't be too shocked by it. I have never in my life received direct revelation from God. And what I mean by that is I have never seen God in the flesh or seen a vision of God or seen Christ in a vision or a dream or anything like that. I'm not the first person to necessarily believe in stuff like that when people say they have, but at least in my case, I have never heard a voice from heaven calling out to me. I've never had a secret revelation which only God gave to me. You know, I hear God how every one of us here hears God. Through His Word, as we are reading and studying now, through diligent prayer, as all of us just partook in as a congregation, and really through the impressions of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we seek to have Spirit-led lives, as we seek to honor God with our lives, as God impresses Himself upon us and conforms us, Romans 12, to His image, the Spirit speaks to us. And that's how God speaks to me. Now, I tell you all that because if there was ever a week where I really could have been helped out by God just dropping a message out of heaven, conveniently into my lap, outline and all, already put together, this was that week. You know, I've been here almost 2.5 years now, and I have never wrestled to get to the point of having a sermon prepared that I did today. Any given week, I can sit in my office, I can devote the time that I need to. I've even traveled and been able to devote the time that I need to. And yet this week, I felt like I pulled every single tooth out of my mouth just trying to discern what God wanted me to say to you all as the preacher standing before you. But again, I tell you, it was just one of those kind of weeks. If you were unaware, I had, between Monday and Thursday, I had 4 flights to accommodate myself and my ever-increasing fear of flying on a plane. I rented a truck for the first time in my life just to watch hail decimate it right before I turned it back into Enterprise. I watched Thursday night as the airport continued to delay my flights so that I didn't even get home till after midnight, or at least to Kansas City after midnight, let alone home around 3:30 in the morning. And to top it all off, I experienced the introvert's greatest travel nightmare: your headphones dying while you're on the plane, meaning you actually have to talk to people. And I can tell you how terrible, right? All that to say, to describe this week as stressful would be a gross understatement. It's to a week like that, however, that as I worked to prepare my sermon, I found myself drawn to Galatians 3. You know, normally, for those of you who maybe keep track, this is the first Sunday after tax day. And so normally, as I've tried to make it a habit, I would generally preach on giving, on the Christian's understanding of wealth and finances and how we approach that in the church. And I've been pretty religious about that since I got here. But for whatever reason, as I continued to think and ponder and concern myself with what I was going to talk about this weekend, this is the text that God continued to put on my mind. I would come to Galatians 3, and every time I would read it, starting in the middle of the week, all the way through Saturday night, all I would hear is the same small voice in my head saying, "This is you, Jacob. You are the person being described in these verses. And then as I looked at it more, as I strained over the text some more, hoping to find what God would want me to say this weekend, really not knowing where the Lord was going to lead me with it, I began to hear kind of another sentence to go along with that. Not only is this me, but God was telling me, well, this is the church. This is the church that you're reading about in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. You're in the same boat as the church. You guys are all kind of on the same train, in the same position. You are the people of Galatians 3 to some extent. And finally, I guess even on Saturday night, and again, if I'm working on my sermon on Saturday night, we really have problems, is what I like to think. But it's not too often. I'll tell you every Saturday night as I lay in bed, I go through my sermon that I have prepared. I do all my kind of refreshing myself with it. I see if there's any last minute addendums maybe God wants to make to it. And so that's kind of the process I take. But even as I did that, I heard the same message. I came back to the same text, but I heard just a slightly different variation of it. No longer was it this is you, Jacob, or this is the church, but it morphed into the repeating phrase in my mind, this is us, is all I heard when I read Galatians 3. Meaning this is me, this is all of us here as one body, as one church. I continued to just hear that as I read and reread and reread and reread and reread Galatians 3. You see, I think Galatians 3 bears a timely message for us all. And I like to think that God put it in front of me and in front of us because it is a timely message that we all need to hear. And I think we just have to look at the context of our own lives in Galatians 3 to realize that. Because think about this. Verse 1, which we all just read together. Verse 1, Paul's telling the Galatians, understand the meaning of Christ's death. And what did we just talk about 2 weeks ago? What did we sit here on Easter Sunday and discuss? We talked about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, Galatians, remember that. For the meaning of Christ's death was made clear to you as if you'd seen a picture. And really, we celebrate that reality every Easter. And then verse 2 comes along. He says, let me ask you this question. And he brings up the work of the Holy Spirit. And what did we talk about last week? We talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about what it is to have resurrection power in you. We talked about what it is to live by the Spirit, to be Christians who engage with the Spirit, not just to walk around and do whatever, but to truly be caught up in the Spirit which we received when we believe the message about Christ. And then you look to verse 3. Paul says, how foolish can you be, Galatians? After you started your new life in the Spirit, you had the information of verse 1, you received the Spirit of verse 2, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And so as I said, verse 1 is 2 weeks ago, verse 2 was last week, and so where do we find ourselves this week? I point us back to verse 3. How foolish can you be, Paul says. You started so well in the Spirit, but now you're relying on yourself. And if you aren't sure what Paul's talking about here with regard to the Galatians, what was going on in Galatia was this. Paul shared the gospel with them. Paul gave the truth to them. Paul gave all of everything they needed to know to be the Christians that God wanted them to be. But then they pivoted. They were doing so well, verse 3. They started off in Christ. They started off with that zeal I talked about last week. That the Spirit fills us with zeal. The Spirit fills us with energy. The Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. And it says, go out, be used. You know, it's like Acts 1 all over again. Acts 1, the Holy Spirit came down on the first of the disciples, and the church exploded. And Paul says, Galatia, you were in that exact same boat. You had a brand new life in the Spirit. But then something started to happen. Something started to change in Galatia. They were slowly beginning to abandon the gospel. Not intentionally, not as if they wanted to, but it was just moment by moment. Small choices by small choices, they began to turn away from the image of verse 1. They saw Jesus and his death clearly, but now that image was starting to get foggy. Jesus was slowly becoming useless to them. The gospel of grace, which Christ came with, was slowly becoming useless to them. And they thought as though, end of verse 3, they now had to perfect themselves rather than be perfected by Christ. And because that was the case, Paul called them out for it in verses 1 and verse 3. He says, "O foolish Galatians." Our translation, he's saying, "You blockheads, you idiots, what are you doing? Who has cast an evil spell on you? They're living as if a witch had bewitched them." That's how Paul says they're treating the gospel. Why, if you started off so strong and you had the Spirit, verse 2, and you saw who Christ was so clearly and you knew his perfection, why on earth are you trying to perfect yourself by your own human effort? And we would say, what a ridiculous thing for the Galatians to do. It's like having it's the illustration I gave us a few weeks ago. It's like having this, you know, for me it was having this nuclear power plant of energy available to just you. But instead you turn away and say, I'm going to operate on my own energy. There's this divine, explosive power, the Holy Spirit, available to you and made clear to you in the gospel. And you started off loving it and just eating it up in verse 3, but now you're at a point where you turn away from the power, you turn away from the opportunity, and you say, I'm going to do it on my own terms. It'd be the equivalent of saying, I'm no longer going to sleep anymore because I want to use that time for something else. And then as you slowly begin to cut back on your sleep, you don't have any energy for anything else. And that's what the Galatians were doing. They were cutting themselves off from life, thinking that that was going to bring them more life. And again, we would all agree, Galatians, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Why would you live that way? Why would you operate that way? But I think the more I focused on this passage and the more I saw myself in this passage, the more I realized that we as Christians tend to do the exact same thing. As verse 3 says, we begin our faith experience, our Christian journey. Maybe we just begin our week walking in the Spirit of God, but sooner or later we end up trying to become perfect little Christians by our own power. And I'd say again, in fact, I'm probably more guilty than anyone else in this room of trying to do that exact same thing of verse 3. This week was interesting for me because, if you weren't aware, this last week I traveled out to Pennsylvania as part of a kind of a first things first in our denomination. They had a rural pastors cohort, which essentially means I and a handful of other rural pastors were kind of hand-plucked out of a whole bunch of applicants to kind of do rural ministry together. And so I've been doing that since the beginning of the year, and just this past week we had our first time I'd met anybody in our little Zoom we do, first time I met any of them in person. And most of them are East Coast folks, most of them are not around Kansas, to say the least. And so I was the only one, as I said, I flew out there, I got to enjoy that time, and it was great. But it was an ironic week for me, because we went out there as part of the first ever rural pastors cohort retreat. And you're all familiar with what a retreat is. You know, it's you kind of go out, you get away, you remove yourself from the stresses of life, the burdens of life, you kind of unplug, disconnect, so you can kind of reset, recharge, re-engage with that which you truly care about. And we're all familiar with retreating in terms of a military. You know, if a army is going to retreat, They're going to withdraw temporarily. They're going to step back because that makes more sense than to continue to take losses. And so in the same way as pastors, that's what we were doing. We were getting away from our ministries. We were getting away from the burdens of life. We were getting away from the anxieties. And we were hoping to reset. But how does that always go? It's like me. I struggle to vacation because I get on vacation and then I stress more about the vacation than I can to relax during the vacation. I'm one of those people that I book out every single hour of my vacation so I don't have to think about why I'm not relaxed on vacation. And I'm sure many of you here are the same way. You don't want to think about the fact that, man, I'm more stressed because I'm vacationing than I would be just sitting at home on the couch. And I see some nods. But that's just the fact. And that's exactly what I went through this week. With the call to retreat, with the opportunity to retreat, with the privilege. Again, it was a privilege that I could withdraw from here, from the stresses of ministry, from the stresses of my home and a particularly rambunctious child that I have. It was a blessing of God to be able to do that. And yet, it was one of the most stressful weeks I've ever had in my whole entire life. Because what I realized was that I am a self-perfecter. I am Galatians 3:3 in a nutshell. I'm a busybody. I'm a doer. I'm somebody who's consistently and constantly engaging with stuff to do because I feel as if I always have to make my life perfect by my own human effort. I'm a pull myself up by the bootstraps. You know, if you're not happy, you got to get out there and earn it. You got to get out there and make it better. You're the one responsible for your own life. And that's why I think I was pointed back to Galatians 3, because they were doing the exact same thing in their faith. They wanted to earn it. They wanted to grasp it. They wanted to pull themselves up by their spiritual bootstraps and be the ones to get it done. And so this week, as I was called to retreat, I couldn't. This week, as I was called to rest and relax, and actually the theme of our retreat was to behold the Lord. And you know, there's so many psalms that talk about beholding the Lord, of gazing upon His glory. Psalm 27:4, the one thing I want to do, David says, is to sit in God's house and to gaze at His majesty. But when you're a busybody, you can't do that. When you're a doer, when you engage with every single possible opportunity you cannot just sit in a chair and embrace God for who He is. And again, the Galatians couldn't do that either because they wanted to do everything on their own terms. And folks, I think the reality of it is all of us are like that as well. We want our lives and everything we do to be on our own terms. It's that way with our kids. If you have kids, it's that way with our work or your career. It's that way when we vacation, as I made evident. But it's just that way with our life. We want to be the ones perfecting our lives by our own human effort. And to be honest, that's not a terrible thing. We all want to have good lives. We all want to be just content with what we have, or be content with pursuing more. You know, I think ideally, and this is just what comes through my mind when I say that, I think ideally we would all like to be paid a little bit more, and that's not a bad thing. I think ideally we would all like to have a nicer home, nicer cars, you know, a closer family, and just have all of these blessings of life that continue to kind of stack up on top of one another. And we know that sometimes we can have those things if we're the ones putting in all the work. And that's my thing. You ask my wife, and I am routinely and constantly doing about 17,000 different projects around our house. And I always invent projects to do because I think that stuff will be what we need for our family to be better and our home to be better. But again, we all do the same thing. But notice what happens when we do that. Again, for the Galatians, it was a spiritual experience. I think for us, as we do this in our own lives, we make it into a spiritual experience. But for the Galatians, as they tried to perfect themselves, notice what happened. Their effort went up, and then what influence in their life went down? Verse 3, their life in the Spirit, which was here, and their effort, which was here, began to trade off. And so the connection Paul's making is he's saying, you're doing all of this, you're taking all of this on your own shoulders, you're trying to perfect yourself, and you're just burning yourself out to do so, Galatians, but notice, your spiritual life is going down the tanks. Your spiritual energy, that spirit which we talked about 2 weeks ago and 1 week ago with regard to Christ being raised again by the power of God and that power being in you, he says you are drilling a hole in the bottom of that tank every single time you try to perfect yourself by your own effort. You are draining that tank and not even knowing it. But we don't think that way when we're doing. I'm one of those people, the more I do, the more human effort I expend, the better I feel. And I think we're all that way too. If we work hard, we do what we have to do to be happy. But spirit-filled living runs contradictory to human effort expended. And I just want to ask us all this morning, how many of us are just exhausted with doing so much? I think, again, there's some hands here. I think we would all do this. But how many of us are just so tired of expending ourselves 24/7, it seems? Everything seems to fall on our shoulders. Everything we want seems to require our constant attention. We're constantly exhausted as a culture. We really have no days off, because it used to be even Sunday was like the everything was closed. Church is quite literally the only door you could walk through in the morning. And then beyond that, just there was nothing to do. There were no sports. There was nothing to, I mean, maybe there was stuff to watch on TV if that's part of your taking a day off, but there was nothing. But now everything begins to even encroach upon a day of rest. And really that's, maybe to go off on a tangent, that's why I feel so strongly for any parents or community-minded folks that either have kids involved or are hosting stuff for kids. Because you never have a day off. You're constantly going and going and going, but all that's doing is, rather than filling you up, we don't realize it's draining us. And I love that the audacity that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, gives the Apostle Paul, because when he sees the Galatians, again, doing this with their faith, which we all do, when we invest in our personal lives, when we're running, you know, right to left to right, here and there, driving here, coming back, going home, getting home at 8 o'clock, waking up at 6 a.m., back to work, get the kids here and doing this. When we do that, it becomes a spiritual thing. Because, again, we're draining our spiritual tank. And as Paul watched the Galatians drain their spiritual tank, he says, verse 1, what are you doing, you idiots? Don't you realize what you're doing? You're burning yourself out, and you are acting like a complete fool, like someone who has an evil spell cast on them, because you are watching your life get busy, 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 and you're doing so much and burning so much effort, and yet, where's your spirituality going? And in my mind, as a naive type A Christian, I think the more I do, the more my tank will fill. The more people I serve, the more things I volunteer for, the more Bible studies I write, the more Bible studies I participate in, the more God things that I invest my life in, I'm just going to watch my spiritual tank go up. The more retreats I run off to, the more whatever I do, I think that's what I need, but guess where I found myself this week? E. On a week that was presented to me to be a time of retreat, a time of refreshment, a time of encouragement, I'm as empty as I probably ever had my spiritual tank be. And God accommodates us by calling us fools when we do that. And I'm confident all of us know what it is in our lives that gets us to that point of spiritual emptiness. You don't have to be doing churchy things like the pastor does to realize that you are slowly draining your tank not to be filled again. God has given us, as we discussed last week, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of self-discipline, a spirit of love. And again, I preached on having that dynamic, just dynamite in our hearts, in our souls, in our being. It's always available to us as Christians. It is always and definitively inside of us. But we lean on ourselves and not on it. The implication is that it's vanity to think that you are becoming more spiritual. The busier you are, the more you're pouring yourself out. God says that's vanity to do such a thing. And so really my question that I think I wrestled with for myself all this week, my question for all of us is, how do we get out of our own way? Because I know many of us in this room, from the teens to the oldest, to those in retirement, whatever it may be, I know every single one of us, we're tired. Yes, we're physically tired. Hopefully we accommodate that by starting at 10:30. But we're emotionally tired. We're spiritually tired. We're just always exhausted. And so in keeping with my sermon title, how do we, and kind of playing off my experience this week, how do we retreat from the demands of the world, from the demands of ourselves, from the demands of our job, from the demands of our schooling, from the demands of our parenting, of our everything in life that aren't bad things to handle. But how do we make sure we're retreating from those things when the battle calls for it so that we can come back post-retreat with a more full spiritual tank, with more spiritual zeal, with more spiritual energy so that we can pursue the victorious lifestyle that God has for us? Because again, most Sundays, I can stand up here and say, hey, we just need to keep pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, you handle your destiny. You know, how do we put in more effort? But that's exactly what Galatians 3:3 smacked me over the head with this week, is that it's not always up to us. That there is a spirit inside of you that you are called to walk and live by, verse 3. And so how do we start the engine again? So that spirit, how do we, as last week was, how do we pull all the blankets off to get back to the core of our energy? How do we pursue this victorious lifestyle? Well, I think today I really wanted to do two things. I wanted to point out the fact that I know we're all exhausted, that I know we're all in a spot of either discontentment or just spiritual loss. And to know that the Scripture addresses that, to know that the Bible addresses that, and Paul thus, in Galatians 3:1-3, gives us the answer as to how to address that. And so if you are in that season of life, if you are in a spot where you're just kind of like, what's next? And I think what Paul has for us is this. We have to understand the facts of verse 1 and verse 2, which we talked about before. Verse 1 was that Christ died for us. And that is incredibly evident. We talked about that on Easter. In verse 2, that you receive the Spirit when you believe. Those are two facts you need to know if you are a Christian. That's 1 Corinthians 15 kind of summed up in two verses. Paul says the most important thing you need to understand is that Jesus Christ died for you. And I like what Titus had to say. He talked about, you know, if we have the love letter, if we have, you know, our Bibles and it's right there in front of us, man, if we truly see it as a love letter, we're going to open it. And if you opened up the love letter of God's Word, the very first line of that, right after it being addressed to you, is that Jesus Christ died for you. And then right beneath that line, it would say, and because you believe that, verse 2, you now have God's powerful, dynamic, life-giving, spiritually filling tank, brimming over Holy Spirit within you. And so the commendation is, don't be an idiot and not press on the gas. Don't be foolish and just sit in the car and not even start the dang thing. Don't be dumb and burn out all of your life trying to figure out, well, I got to pop the hood and get in there and I got to fix this and do that and try to get all of this working, when the whole work of the Holy Spirit is you just go with it. You just go where God is calling you to. You go where you think the scriptures are calling you toward, and just listen for God's voice in that. Because, I think oftentimes we're so concerned with trying to dissect and figure out what God wants me to do here and what God wants to happen in this part of my life and with my kids and with my church and with my job, and does He want me to have this job, or am I going to get this promotion, or what's next, and how am I going to have a life, and where am I going to live? And we sit here and we dissect all of these things when God's just saying, sit down in the dang seat and just start listening to me. Just plop yourself down. The gas tank is full with the energy that I have. The car is started when you believed in me. All you have to do is just let the Spirit go where it wants you to go. And I think all of us are in a very unique season of life, regardless of your circumstances, where God wants you to do something incredibly specific to your situation. But oftentimes, we almost have our foot pressed down so hard on the brake that it's trying to go, but we just won't let it. And I tell you, thought I might have pushed that off. I tell you that because I think that's exactly what God had for me this week. That as much as I just tried to press into what God wanted, and I felt like I was sitting here feathering the gas, trying to get something rolling and trying to get a sermon written and trying to get this, enjoy. Have you ever tried to force yourself to relax? That is the most frustrating thing you can ever do. It's like sitting down in the chair and saying, well, I'm gonna, take a nap, when you're clearly not tired. And that's what I spent this whole week, and I think some of us have spent this last year, the last 5 years, the last 10 years, or maybe all of our Christian faith, is just sitting there with the foot on the brake, and we're shocked why our faith doesn't seem to go anywhere. And so God looks to us all here today. God looks into my own soul and says, stop trying to perfect yourself by your own human effort. Be open to what the Spirit has for you. Be open to what God's Word is saying to you. And what that tells me is we need to be in deep communion with the Spirit, and we really need to be in the Word of God. I would say we need to be in the Word of God more than we are presently in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God so much that you don't stop increasing your Bible intake until the very day that you think the Spirit says, all right, that's enough, you can back off a little bit. Because if you still feel any shred of that emptiness, of that need to pursue and perfect yourself, then I would say there's not enough of God's Word yet in our life. And so He says, go to the source, look to the Spirit for life. And really, to finish up, I just want to say this. I want to give some commendations, maybe to specific, hopefully not specific people, that wouldn't be very preacher-esque, but to groups of us in the church, to individuals in your various seasons of life, I want to commend us. First thing I want to speak to, I very much so want to speak to parents. And somewhat the kids are getting lopped into this as well, but parents, I want to say, illustrate this principle of verse 3 well for your kids. Illustrate the principle of knowing when you need to let off the gas so that you can truly and appropriately listen to what the Spirit is trying to do in your life. Because maybe all your kids see is you are the busiest person on earth trying to fill in every single moment of your day, and so that they know that there might not even be an opportunity for God's Spirit to speak to you. And so we need to illustrate that to our kids, especially if you're someone like me who you're always doing, always going, always just burning the midnight oil and you're just tired. But what we do is we almost preach to our kids that it's okay to do that. But obviously, if we're not happy, we don't want them there either. All right, maybe to speak to us as individuals in the church. I've preached about it before out of 1 Corinthians, I think 12 and 13, but our church needs folks who are regularly and attentively walking in the Spirit. And as I said last week, there's probably a lot of folks who have no clue what it is to walk in the Spirit. They have never walked in the Spirit. They have never been in such deep, faithful, obedient communion with God that they're just going where God wants them. And so as individuals, we need to make sure we are those people. I think there's even Christians in this town that just they need to see another Christian actually listen to God. Not say they're listening to God, not say they go to church, not say they're doing the Christian thing, but you actually look at somebody and say, I think we all know what this looks like. But when you see someone's life, you say, man, that person's kind of weird. And they're weird because they're actually a Christian living like a Christian. And when I went to high school, I graduated in 2017 from Nemaha Central. When I went to high school, I wasn't a Christian. I was not born again. I had no relationship with God. I knew one girl in our school that I wouldn't have said it at the time, but she was a Christian. All of us said we were Christians, and we didn't maybe show it the best, but there was one girl who I would say she started her new life in the Spirit, and when I crossed her path as a high schooler, she was somebody who was listening to the Spirit. Even as a high schooler, for me, I was on the opposite end of that spectrum, and so I have no room to talk. But there was one person I knew, and I think there's people in this community that they look to our lives as diligent churchgoers, as people who profess the Word of God, and they look to your life, and they're almost just waiting for you to do something Spirit-led. They're longing to see God work through your life, even if they're not a Christian. And I think that's the calling for us as individuals. And then maybe my final group, kind of zoning in a little bit, I just want to speak to maybe each of our, this is kind of the individuals, but speak to our souls for a moment. To say that it is okay to rest. It is okay to rest physically, and it is okay to rest spiritually. Because oftentimes the physical is just going to keep going. The world keeps spinning. Your job keeps making demands. The sports finish up and then the summer events start. And it's the same thing. It's this constant cycle. But yet, just stop. Just breathe. Just be content knowing that if we are doing what God has for us and we are resting in where the Spirit is guiding us, that's a heck of a lot better place to be than always burning yourself out by your own human effort. And again, I am preaching to the choir on this because I am just ironically exhausted coming back from a retreat. And I think that's maybe just a microcosm of the greater condition of even folks in our church, maybe of many of you who are just so tired of life beating the pulp out of you, and then we pull ourselves back up and try to get back in it. But God offers us hope, and He says, just go back to the Spirit you already have. If you're a Christian, you have it, so lean on it. And maybe we've never experienced what that leaning on the Spirit is like, and so this might be the first time that God calls us to it. And hold me accountable, because I need it probably just as much as many of you. And I know many of you are a lot busier than I. And so maybe just desiring that for us all, let me pray for that. And maybe in this time, if you would bow your head with me, maybe just think about how you've maybe been trying to perfect yourself when God wants to be the one to perfect you. Lord, we We thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that this week was, and maybe I'll speak for the crowd here, this week was just a lot. And something tells me, Lord, there every week after this wants to be just like it. The world is constantly trying to crunch us up and to spit us out and to make it into the mold it wants us to be. But Lord, we don't have to live in such agony. Lord, we don't have to be content with such weariness. We don't have to say, well, that's just life. You know, when it rains, it pours. No, we don't. Lord, what we can do is we can come to you and we can rest in the Spirit of God. Lord, we don't provide the energy. The Spirit is the energy. And so, Lord, the more energy I burn, the more I realize I'm not working by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit doesn't drain us, it fills us. Lord, and how many of us here are filled? How many of us here are brimming over with spiritual life right now? How many of us here are exactly where we think God wants us to be? Lord, we have to lean on the Spirit. Oh, foolish Christians, that we would go and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, thinking that that will make us right with God, that we'll be right where we need to be with God, when in fact, he says, you already believe, so live like it. Lean on me like it. Trust me like it. And for some of us, Lord, that's just going to take some time. But Lord, we know that if we come to you right now with a humble heart, and that's what I'm going to ask us to do, just in your mind, as I'm praying for us, just look to God and just say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of everything. And yes, I believe. Yes, I trust your word. But I am just burning the midnight oil to do everything that this life demands of me. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to burn out for you. And so, Lord, just be with us as we pursue that. And Lord, maybe make that a new chapter of this church, of our lives as we pursue that. Because, Lord, you don't want us that way. Christ told us in the book of Matthew that if we're weary, if we're exhausted, if we're just spent, either in our religion or our career or whatever it is, we can go to Christ who bears our burdens, who helps the weary, and who energizes us by his love and his mercy. Lord, that's my prayer for us all. And I pray that even as we just get to even just potluck today, help us enjoy a meal together. Let our fellowship be sweet. Let it begin to recharge those batteries. And just to see, God, that you have our best interest in mind. We pray all of this knowing you do. And we pray all of this in Christ's beautiful name. Amen.